I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits. Sharia, who's making progress with meds. And Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Welcome to your next move. This is Edna White, and I'm so glad you're with me today. And today, we're going to talk about healing, meeting, accountability. Today, we're going to be talking about something that we all are guilty of, and that is saying the word, I am fine, and not really meaning it. And I have someone special with me today who is a coach and also owns an amazing company that teaches us speakers how to speak when we don't want to speak. And I'm going to say his first name and not Rona's second name. So we're here today with Sebastian
Uscadigi.
Yes, I see that works so well. Welcome to the show. I'm really excited to get talking to you because I think I'm fine has a lot to do with, you know, not being confident. So take it away. Tell us about you first and we'll get this thing rolling.
Absolutely. I love the subject as well. Thank you so much for having me on in such a powerful conversation. Mm-hmm. So I am a public speaker and I am a 23-year-old entrepreneur of two businesses. And my background is coming here to the United States as an immigrant only child, right? In the pursuit of this American dream. And I think where that ties into the subject of I'm fine without really being fine is the first step to all success. And it is admitting the problem to find the solution. 99% of people, the reason why they don't find success in life might not be what you think. It is always because they are too afraid to define what success looks like for themselves. They tell themselves, I'm fine, and never articulate in their life a problem. When you don't define what success looks like, how can you get there? You're like a ship with no sail, aimlessly drifting, right? And the reason why people don't do that is because it's terrifying. To define success means you're also defining failure. And chances are we're much closer to failure when we start than to success. So what I really want us to talk about today and what I want to drive home is break out of that. Stop saying I'm fine. Stop ignoring the reality and the dreams that you're destined for. Admit the failure to find the success.
Yeah, I think I've also have done that. And I hate the word I'm fine. I even hate the word a fine linen. I hate the word fine because then you start using it again, right? Yeah. So I haven't used it. I want to say, oh gosh, well, maybe I'll say 7 that I can remember. Because I would started saying it because it was just a thing I repeated. And I was like, I'm not one of those like, joiners. I'm not a joiner. So I was like, wait, I'm copying off of somebody else and I'm really not fine. I'm like the worst day ever happened. But true to your statement that you just said is that we're not brave enough or we have no confidence enough to define what we want.
Exactly.
What we really want to do. And most of the time, what I'm finding out from people and from myself is that they don't know who they are. That's one thing. First, you got to know that, right? You got to know that. Then you got to know where you're going, correct?
Amen. Absolutely right. Now, I want to add something to that because you're absolutely right. Confidence is a prerequisite toward success. Mm-hmm. One thing I can always forgive, especially as an owner of a speaking agency that also coaches speaking, one thing that I can always understand is someone who is shy. But I adore people that are breaking out of that, people that are breaking out of the cycles of silence, right?
Yeah, and that's what it is. Say that loud and clear.
Right? I love that in people that are breaking out of that. But one thing that I can never tolerate, and I never will, never work with this kind of person, is someone who is okay with that and just is going to let their brilliance die in the dark. I hate that because there are so many amazing things that have not happened in this world simply because we don't speak them out or we don't act on them. Because right. we say it's fine, it's okay, whatever. But confidence and audacity are prerequisites for success. As a matter of fact, it's the most important thing for success. You can have everything else there, but if you lack confidence and you lack audacity for pursuit, you're never going to get anywhere. Like I said, the only talent that I had growing up, I had nothing. I came here with nothing, only child of an immigrant family. I saw my parents pretty much robbed from me in the system. They were just working 12-hour shifts every day. I didn't have talent. I didn't have scholarships. But one thing that never left me was the audacity to dream and to pursue that. It's this vision in my mind that I have no right to have because nothing in my life could even make me want to dream this or give me the right to conceive of the life that I wanted. But still, the greatest talent that we have as human beings is the ability to imagine something that doesn't exist yet and make that a reality. But that can happen in silence. It needs to be spoken and it needs to be acted on.
Right. I totally agree 100%. And I'm so glad that you're young saying that versus me as being an elder, or should I say like a bishop older. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you're saying that because I often find people, and working with a lot of people, they say, oh, I'm an introvert. And again, they repeat things that they heard, right? I'm an introvert, right? And yet you're not, because you're talking to me and you can speak out. And then if things change, you gain confidence, you just did it. So explain to me when you were an introvert. Was it when you were 5? Because let me tell you, those 5-year-olds, they got full power. They're doing everything they want. They do it. They're saying no. They're making, let me do it myself kind of mood. They're doing all of that. You know, so when is it that you became an introvert? Is it when things happened? So I want to throw out here, audience, we're going to throw out the questions and I'm going to have my esteemed guests kind of start, get the ball rolling. What is your body telling you that your mouth keeps denying? Go for it, Sebastian.
Wow, that's a really good question. What is your body telling you that your mouth keeps denying? I'm writing a book right now. It's on public speaking, and one of the first parts of it has to do with the reason why we deny ourselves or we become introverts, like you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. And on that subject, in that book, I talk about all the people that have sacrificed their dream, that have sold their potential to corporations and have pretty much just put themselves in the comfort zone, right? I think it's not our body that demands from us things. It's our soul. And what it's always going to come back, it's going to haunt you or it's going to bless you. Depends on how you've lived your life. But your soul is always going to demand your passion from you. Right. And the older you get, the more it's going to scream at you and say, hey, what happened about that dream of traveling the world? Hey, what happened about that dream of investing? Hey, what happened about all these things, right? That's either going to haunt you or make you proud when you look back. But it ultimately depends on you. It's our souls that demand things from us. But our mouth, I don't know where we get this from. This is insecurity. This is fear. This is anxiety. These are blockers. Yep. But our mouth somehow finds the gall to say, no, later, my life isn't in the right place. I'll wait for this or that to be in the right spot.
Right.
Never going to happen, right? Yeah. That's what audacity is. It's making things happen. It's breaking out of this patience reaction cycle and getting on the offensive.
Yeah.
That's the only way to make your life move in the direction that you want. So I always encourage audiences all over the world where I've spoken, and I tell them, I know right now as I'm speaking about this stuff, you are thinking about something that needs to get done or that you want to get done. You're literally thinking about it as I'm speaking it, right?
Yeah.
And you're still trying to like deny it from yourself. But guess what? I'm telling you right now, ain't no perfect time. Do something. Do anything. But
anything.
Do
anything. Okay. So you know that Sebastian just called you into charge for your own life. One thing is to identify the stress signals, right? Shut down those old habits and the physical discomfort that you keep ignoring, ignore that. All right. Here's another one. Where in your life are you performing I'm fine instead of telling the truth?
Huh, that's a good question because now it's putting me on the spot, calling me out on what I'm not doing well. I like that though. That's how we grow, right? So you see your coach, you've seen this, you know that sometimes you preach something and you're like, Crap, I should have listened to myself.
Yes!
I got to get out of advice. It happens a lot. Well, for myself, I would say I'm definitely postponing. And I keep telling myself, I got too much work here to do. I'm postponing a lifelong dream of mine. I'm ready to do it. I just keep saying I got work to do of traveling the world, you know. I've been looking at Spain. I've been looking at Thailand. I've been looking at a couple different places I can work remotely. I didn't even pull the trigger on that. Yeah. But it's been a lifelong dream, and I got to stop telling myself I'm fine here.
Yeah,
Orlando's not what it used to be. I'm not fine here, you know.
This is very true. I want to piggyback off of you. I just said this to myself. Okay. So, you know, when you're out of alignment and you're, I'm on the stage of the attraction, you know, manifesting, really, truly manifesting, not this mantra stuff. Really attracting. And what I had to come to realization like you did is I'm not happy here. Mm-hmm. You know, and I had to tell my nervous system, I should be allowing myself to want more. It's okay to want more. It's okay to have that. And it's tell my nervous system that. I had to tell it because I was like freaking out and like I was just like getting comfortable again like that, you know, it's okay. All right. You know, and let me just say, I have the home I wanted by the water. Looking, every window is got by the water. But what's wrong with wanting clearer water, or maybe a different unit near the water, but maybe bluer waters and better weather? You know, all of those things. What's wrong with that? We stop expanding after a while. We stop doing that. We minimize everything. You know, we minimize. Because I'm fine here, like you said, I'm fine here. Mm-hmm. Instead of telling the truth, no, I'm not fine here. You know, I wanna travel the world. Shoot.
Yeah, just speaking my language. You know, it's so funny. Almost everything you talked about, I was writing about too in my book. And what I'll tell you is, you're right. I mean, we as humans, we die before our death when we tell ourselves that we are satisfied. Satisfaction is a lie. Right. Always be grateful, of course. Always be happy, but never satisfied. Because the truth is, what? Did you expect your life to end when you got the promotion, when you got the house, when you got the six-figure business for the first time? No. We are creatures of purpose. And, I mean, this is evident everywhere that you look, right? But where do you see the highest mental illness and depression rates? Funnily enough, it's in the upper classes of first world countries.
Yeah.
You see the least depression in third world countries and the lower classes. Why? Because the sense of purpose is right in their face. I got a family to feed. I got a life to feed. When you start making it and you get complacent, that's when you sacrifice the one thing that we need. No other animal needs us. We need food, water, shelter, but we also need purpose, something to chase happily, right? Yeah. And when you become happy in the chase, you've got it. You talked about something that I literally wrote about, is that complacency of, I got what I wanted, but I'm getting comfortable and I have to admit to myself I'm not happy. I was writing in my book about when I quit my job to run my business full time. Mm-hmm. And I was 20 years old, working a nearly six-figure job, but I was terrified at one point. It dawned on me. It was like almost a year that I was working there and the months flew by. I didn't even notice it. I had no recollection of this year. And I woke up one day and I realized, holy crap, I'm comfortable here. And I'm about, I mean, I looked around the people that work there and there's a bunch of, you know, older folk who were just so mad at everything. They were just very, very upset. You know?
Don't you just love them?
And I realized, why is this? Again, their soul is demanding from them passions that they sold out to this corporation. And I looked at all these faces and I thought, this job pays just good enough for me to forget about my passions for the next 60 years and end up just like this.
And it will do that.
Mm-hmm. The I looked at all those old grumpy faces and they were like mirrors.
Yeah.
That very same day, I went into my manager's office and I said, I quit, put me up for do not rehire. I don't ever want to be able to come back here. I left and I focused on my business entirely. And I failed a lot. Yeah. But that's what it takes, right?
It does take that. It takes that failure to figure out everything. You know, like I tell people, I've changed my LinkedIn profile 1,000 times, and I wasn't ashamed of it because I had to get the groove, you know? I had to get the rest of the employee mentality out of me, you know? And we get that way, you know? And it's good. It's good because then you're not fine. I'm not fine at being complacent. That's the only thing I'm not fine at is being complacent. Just, you know, just doing things simply. I'm not happy with that. So I want to perform. The way that people are in other countries, you know why they do that? They're so, you know, busy is because they satisfy all the pillars of their lives. Every pillar. Creativity, they're drawing or they're, you know, writing or they're, you know, artistry or they're playing the piano. All of those areas are touched. They're all touched because their purpose is always pouring out of them because they're always doing something that's the major part of their life. So we're not in here. No, we're good. Oh, we're just fun in the sun. We're gonna lay down, or you know, it, like right now it's raining. The other day, me and my granddaughter went out. And I said, "Let's go out and play in the rain." And she was like, "Really?" So yeah, let's go. So we go out. We're like literally. I mean, I have the dog and everything. We're splashing in the puddles. We're jumping in the puddles, and everybody's like, "Hmm." You know, maybe she's a little bit different, but we're having fun.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the most important thing, you know. And I love when it happens to me as well, because one of the main things that I'll never abandon is that childlike wonder and fun and excitement that you have with the world.
Yeah.
You know, who cares if you get a little wet playing in the rain? You know, who cares if you got to jump a fence or two? Who cares if you got to, you know, do this or that? Whatever, man. That's part of the beauty of life. And I spent a lot of time, especially early in my career and in my journey. You got to realize I had a whole family to support as an only child of immigrants that I could not accept my family working like that. And we almost went homeless. I had a lot of pressure to succeed. I started my first business at 16, but I realized for a little bit that I was so obsessed with the chase of success that I found myself being miserable. I felt like I was 50 years old and I was 18, you know, it was crazy. It was then that I realized, wait a second. The whole reason why I became an entrepreneur was to walk my own way, not be locked in by life. What's the point if I'm not even happy in the chase? 99% of life is pursuit. 1% is attaining. The key to happiness is learning to love the pursuit, learning to love the walk and the journey and the rain and the messiness and the mud. Love all that stuff because only you can feel that. When you're working for that corporation or you're walking someone else's dream and forgetting about your own, you don't get any of that stuff, man. You got to fall in love with the rain. You got to fall in love with the failure and the struggle.
That's right.
Because for the first time in your life, if you're going to fall, you're going to do it for yourself. That's what it means to be an entrepreneur. That's my passion.
That's right. So audience. Over-functioning, we do that a lot because working is for somebody.
Oh, whoa. Am I the only one here now? Is it still live? That's funny. I couldn't even hear what she was saying towards the end, but I'll try to keep this going in that case. So I think what she was saying, a question to the audience about being overworked and overperforming, what a lot of people call burnout. And burning out, it's not necessarily about working too much. It's about working your brain too much. When you've been working to the level where you feel like all your days are just flying right by and you're not even feeling what's going on around you, that is what burnout really looks like. And that's when you've already gotten to a level of a lack of control. You know, there's nothing in your life that's holding you there and causing you to stay. You have lost control of your consciousness. You've lost control of your time. And that's when it's time to wake up and get back into your pacing. Let me try to connect over here real quick. Okay. It looks like she's just gone. It looks like she might just be gone for now. I tried switching my Wi-Fi, so I know it's not my Wi-Fi. That's funny. Let me just check in over here to see what's going on. And see if I can maybe get in contact with her here. Let's see what's going on. Try switching my Wi-Fi one more time. That's so funny. I'm not sure if she's going to come back. Am I still live, though? If you guys are in the chat, just let me know if you guys can still hear me.
I can still hear you. I had to jump off here. You see?
Can you still hear me all right?
I can still hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Did you hear me the whole time? I was trying to keep the show running.
No. I was blanking here, so I jumped on the laptop.
Yeah, my Wi-Fi was holding on. I switched my Wi-Fi a couple times to see if it was me.
Good. That's fine. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So I was picking up where you left off. You're talking about over what? Something overclocked, overburdened.
Oh, what did I say?
You're coming out to some heat. Bell was hanging. You're coming out to some good.
Over-functioning and yes, avoiding boundaries. Over-functioning and avoiding boundaries. That's what I said.
Absolutely. Yeah, I see we got some questions in the chat here coming in or some comments. All right. Great. On that subject of over-functioning, you know, one thing I realize every time I travel, I just came back from Morocco, Portugal, and Spain. One of the things that I very quickly realized, especially being in Europe, is the culture is so different when it comes to money, when it comes to efficiency. They have a huge focus on enjoyment, on flowing, on quality of life. They're not so focused on efficiency and this get the best everything, get the best money, get the best job. We are here in the United States, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And while that helps us get ahead in our goals, it definitely makes us disrespect ourselves by overstepping our own boundaries to the point where we are not being healthy at all, right? Uh-huh. We're not enjoying the journey. We're only enjoying attaining. And that's like the smallest part of life. You very rarely attain your goals. Let's be real. Obtaining your goals is like 1% of life. And even when you do, you're on to the next, right? But that's a beautiful thing. That journey is what gives the goal meaning. And so as an entrepreneur, as a leader, and especially as a speaker, your focus should always be on that journey. It should be on just falling in love with life. Like you talked about dancing in the rain, whatever it is, but those are those moments where you really know what it is to be a human being. Feeling the rain on your skin, feeling the struggle, the stress of your job, of your business, and then feeling the success, the triumph of making it and going out to celebrate. All those little things are what add up, right? And again, when you're a leader, when you're an entrepreneur or an author, a writer, a speaker, whatever it is, you need to fully embody that because you really are out on your own. And that's amazing.
That's cool. So we're at the top of our flash time. So I want to give you all something that you could take with you. And I'm going to ask my guest this final question. And I know he has this answer. What's one immediate action you can take to bring your emotions and body back into alignment?
One thing I always say, one of the things that has always saved me from even my deepest and darkest failures or depressions, we find ourselves in our darkest moments through stagnancy and comfort. The metals of your machine have rusted. Move and move aggressively and move audaciously in that direction that you've always been thinking about moving in. Do it shamelessly, right? Change brings happiness into your life. It wakes you back up. It gets you out of this zombie mode that happens when you burn out. And guess what? If you're in the United States, and you're working 40 hours a week, you're burnt out. I'm sorry. No way around it. You are.
Absolutely. Period. Absolutely.
So again, I will repeat what I always say. Whatever it is, and you know what it is, because when I say that you've been procrastinating on something and it comes to mind, that's the test. If you thought about something, when I say that you're procrastinating or holding off, That's your confirmation that you know it deep inside. Whatever that is, act on it today. Whatever step it is, big or small, do something now.
Right. That's great. Well, thank you for joining us today on your next move lesson. Even with the technical issues that we had, if you felt yourself recognizing the tensions in your body, the places you shut down, or the moments you've been performing, I'm fine, then you already took the first step towards emotional honesty. Remember, your body never lies. And when you stop arguing with it, you stop abandoning yourself, what our guest said today. Before you go, choose one action that brings your mind, your body back into alignment, just like our guest has said. Maybe rest, say no, pause, breathe, tell the truth, or ask for support. One move is all it takes to shift everything. So if this episode spoke to you, share it, play it, and come back next week for another 15-minute flash of truth, transformation, and accountability. And if you want Sebastian's newest book, we're going to have the launch time underneath this video so you can have that. Well, we'll speak to you real soon. And I'm going to say goodbye for now, me and my esteemed guest, Sebastian.
Goodbye. See you next time around. It's been an honor. Thank you so much.